Well, the first order of business, if you'll allow me, is I need to thank the Lord and for the wife that He gave me. Thank you, Susan. Been a lot of years. It'll be 27 years pretty soon, and the Lord has blessed me with a wonderful wife.
Amen.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my decisions and drug us through some things, and never once, as you said, it's your fault and blame me. And I thank you, Susan.
Amen.
And as much as it hurts, I probably got to thank our folks, my in-laws. for the raising they did. If you had the blessing to be touched by that, by the West family, you've been blessed. And I thank you, Mom and Dad, for raising a wonderful wife and things of heart. just a quick update. Susan and I are planning on leaving San Luis Potosí. Some 8 years ago, Michael and Marco and some of the other brothers there started preaching downtown San Luis in front of the Plaza Municipal, the head place, against all odds, and some people got saved. Michael called me and said, I'm starting meetings. There's six people that have gotten saved in the last week, and it's been a glorious 8 years there in San Luis.
Yeah.
The Lord has blessed us with a lot of people that got saved and showed a good testimony. They were all young people. They were all, some of them 13, 14 years old, and faithful to the meetings. Through the years, we've had some that have left and things, but there's still a very strong nucleus of those that once were young children are now growed right up. They are married. Some of them are expecting their first child, and it seems that it's time for us to move on so that we get out of their way and not build on the foundation that they have started there. They faithfully preach in the streets. They faithfully are witnessing, and we're beginning to see new growth again. And when they start winning souls and they start building the church, it's time for us to move on. And so we solicit your prayers. We're looking at Toluca, which is another city a little further south. Practically, it will give us an ability to visit Querétaro and San Luis on a regular basis for a time. It might even be a stepping stone into Mexico City, which would be quite a step. But it's about 20 minutes from Mexico City, from the outskirts of Mexico City. So you pray for that in that direction and see what the Lord will lead. If you've got another place, then praise the Lord, we'll go someplace else. But the Lord is working there, and we plan to leave the church earliest as September, be completely out of San Luis, and as late as the first of the year. If the Y2K bug don't bite us, we don't know. But we'll see what the Lord has to offer. This morning I'd like to share a message that's been precious to my heart for a long time. I think I preached it here years ago when we were still in the other building. But as we start this mission conference, we start into another week of what has become a tradition. And we gather in the mornings and the ladies feed us missionaries in the afternoon. And some of these traditions we'd like to keep. We hope that the meals will be here. But we don't want it to be tradition. There's a reason. There are reasons why we have mission conference. There's a reason why we get together and be scolded and be pricked by the Lord. One is for us missionaries. We need some encouragement. We need to see that what we're doing, this cause is still going on. We're not down there and the thing is quit. We need some encouragement as the missionaries. We need to be renewed and refocused. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we have the same needs as every one of you. You know, I got two kids that are planning to come to the States, start college. We're talking about some problems here. And every missionary has the same thing. We get down there and nobody likes us. We're the odd man out. We're really different. Different when we're here, but you imagine down there. Or in Poland or where it's another set of rules, and we come here for this mission conference, not just to go through another week of traditions, because this is one wear out tradition. By the end of this week, some of us in here are going to be very tired, but we come to be renewed in the Spirit.
Amen.
And we come here because we expect you, the church, to fulfill that need. For us to go on, we need to be refreshed and refocused every year, even more so. Another reason is to give you a report. Do you understand what's going on? That the cause that you think is still going on is going on.
Amen.
We come up here maybe to encourage you to renew your resolve and your conviction that the sacrifices of your giving, your praying, the fact that you come here, we're coming here every night for the next week, there's a reason for it.
Amen.
It's a resolve. And for all that to take place, I think we need to start at the very basics, is our individual walk with the Lord. We can talk theory and we can talk all the wonderful things, but if personally I'm not right with the Lord, personally you're not right with the Lord, the victory that we seek. This business of God, as John put it this morning, this business can't go on because God uses individuals. And I'd like to share a message with you that shows how that an individual caused great disaster, great defeat. But more importantly, I hope that at the end of that, we understand, according to God's Word, how that He expects us to deal with the sin in our lives. So many times when we talk about that we need to repent and get right, it's words, it's theory. But God expects a certain form, a certain process to take place. A certain process that we deal with the sin in our lives. And those of you that are here this morning, and perhaps you're not saved, you're not born again, this is going to seem strange. That a group of people have gathered together to hear somebody lambast and talk bad about everybody else in the room, including themselves, and we're enjoying it. It's because there's something much greater than what this world has to offer.
Amen.
The thing in our lives which has caused us to separate from God and not have fellowship with God isn't worth the joy and the peace that we've lost with God.
Right.
We want to return to what Brother John talked about in the early days and back before. I remember when I got saved. It's the first thing in my memory. I was May 5th, 1957. I was a small child. I can remember the place. I could take you to the little country church where I knelt. I could tell you the name, George Spees, dear brother that resembles Brother Dale immensely in his joy and his enthusiasm for the Lord, is still preaching the gospel today. And he led me to the Lord. I can remember running out the church and up and down the sidewalk, yelling, "I'm saved, I'm saved." Don't remember nothing else for another 3-4 years. But I remember that night. Remember that day when the Lord convict me, a small child, and the joy that I had.
Amen.
I look back over the victories in my life and the joy that I had in those. And then I look at the defeats when I've allowed sin to come into my heart and take out that fellowship. One of the first things that happens when we have a problem with sin in our lives, when we're distracted, we start to lose faith. We start doubting in temptation or in obscurity what we once saw in the light. Dangerous practice. Once you've seen in the light, you hold fast to that. Don't lose faith. We start doubting the book. We read and we see what God's commanded us to do, and it fits our situation perfectly, but that's an old book. Well, things have changed, and we need to just modify. That's our faith slipping away. And it happens when we lose fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our fellowship is gone. That joy. The joy is gone. And last but not least, our victory. We have some struggling works. Us missionaries, some of these guys, they'll tell you, they're struggling. They don't see the big congregations lining up to be taught by our wisdoms and accepting the Bible as it says it instead of arguing with us. We don't see these great victories in what? I think we need to first go back to ourselves and see ourselves. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If you want to put a title on the message, I guess you'd call it the door of hope. In fact, I know you would. It's what it is. It's the door of hope. Revelation 3:20, it says, the Lord Jesus speaking says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Amen. That's the faithfulness of the Lord.
Amen.
This verse is talking to Christians that are out of fellowship. The Lord Jesus is on the outside of a door knocking. A door is an amazing thing. I don't know if you ever thought about it. This door does a couple of things. First of all, it separates you from the outside. Last night, it was a good separation. It was raining and blowing. We like to separate. This morning, the sun shining out there, it wouldn't be good, bad to have some fresh air. But the purpose is it separates you. It's a separation. The second thing, it's a uniting. We're united this today practically because we're on this side of the door. You remember that as we go through the message, that this door is doing two things. It's separating us from what's out there, and it's uniting us with what's inside. But it says that the Lord is knocking on the door. My God, all-powerful, can knock the door down. The sin that you have hidden in your life, that thing that you desire more than the business of God in your heart, God can knock it down. He can take it out. Screaming and hollering and kicking as we may be, He could take it out of our life. But He's not doing that. He wants people to surrender.
Amen.
To say, "Lord, I want fellowship with You more than this thing that I hold in my hand. This thing that I hide in my heart." And He's knocking. I put to you this morning, it's not difficult to find out that thing that causes your lack of fellowship with the Lord. Why? Because you have a conscience. And that knocking is the Lord pricking your conscience. Saying, "What about this? What about this?" Many times we talk about repenting and getting right with God, but we don't want to identify what is the problem. God wants practical people that say, "This is a problem in my life. It hinders my fellowship." And I guarantee you, you can find it.
Amen.
The Lord is knocking on that thing, that door that separates you from that fellowship. Another good way to tell and said, this is separating you from me. Identification, identifying those things. So the question is how do we effectively open the door? So many times in my past, and you probably have had the same experience when we've known something's in the way, and we just open it slightly, just a little bit, and hope that the Lord will slip in. But we haven't really opened the door. We haven't really dealt with that in our lives. We may have identified it. We may have even confessed it out loud before the whole church. But we haven't been willing to open the door and say, Lord, this thing is separates me. I want you to come in, and I want it to now to unite me. Do you understand that the sin that you conquer in your life, the sin that you confess and deal with, becomes the unifying factor in your relationship between you and the Lord? It's not an enemy anymore. It's an asset. Every time you conquer a sin in your life, and every time you turn over to the Lord and really open that door, and it now becomes that which unites you with the Lord. You were willing to sacrifice that pleasure, that thing, that sin, for the fellowship of the Lord. He counts that unto you as a gain. Look, if you would, in Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, right after Daniel. We have two verses that sparked my interest in a door. The door of hope. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. It says, therefore, behold, I will allure her, and I will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. You want to return to the joy that you once had the day you got saved? You want to have that enthusiasm? You want to have the whole vineyard? I'm not talking about just a few grapes. I'm talking about the whole vineyard. You want to have the victory that God has for His people and has given to His people?
Amen.
Says that He's given the valley of Achor as a door of hope. That's a strange thing for a door of hope. It's a strange thing. He's not talking about a trip around the world. He's talking about a valley and where sin was dealt with. We need to deal with sin and effectively deal with sin. Says that He gave a valley of hope. There's comfort in the vineyards. Do you remember? Brother John mentioned this morning, he stole half the message. Do you remember? Do you really remember the times of joy when there was nothing between you and the Lord? Do you remember the times we sang in the old meeting hall until all the guitar strings broke?
That's right, amen.
We were there. It was 2 a.m. We were hoarse. The guitar strings broke. We finally just collapsed and says, Lord, I know if we keep clapping our hands, you'll keep blessing, but we're just tired. Remember the times when we sat around and just praised Him for the different blessings that were gave to us,
amen.
And nobody wanted to go home.
That's right.
Someone stood up to shut the meeting down and they shut him up.
That's right.
The joy that the Lord gives us, and we lose it. We get down to Mexico and we're wrapped up with our things. We got a family to feed and support. We got all the things you do. We're trying to build a church. We got everybody crying on our shoulder because of the disasters in their life. And you get tired of that because you told them they were coming and they needed to repent and change their lives and they didn't. And now they're crying and want a magic cure to fix their problems. You get tired of that. And you begin to see the things of this world that are more alluring than the joy of the salvation because you've allowed it to slip away from you. We need a fresh touch with the Lord. We need to really identify the things in our lives that cause us to lose fellowship.
Amen.
And we need to swing that door wide open and plead with the Lord to come in and once again visit us with His fellowship. It says that He will commune with us. He'll give us strength. He'll suck with us the victories that we once sought for and once saw and have heard of. Many of us have just read the stories of victories and we even doubt, how can that be that John Wesley preached to 15,000 people and they all fell down and cried, God is their Father. Is that possible? That's possible.
Amen.
God did some marvelous things. Let's look at one of them in the story of Jericho. That's where we pick up the story on the Valley of Hope, the Valley of Achor. Look in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. This is a story that I'm sure all of you have heard. Just run over it briefly. But the children of Israel, after 40 years of getting their heart right and getting rid of the dead weight, those that refused to enter in, they marched into the land of Canaan and ready for the victory that God was to give them. And God says, you go out and you march around the city of Jericho once every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you march 7 times and then blow the trumpets and a loud shout and the walls will fall down. And God won a great victory.
Amen.
This wasn't just some little village. This was one of the strongest cities in the land. This is this huge fortified city with huge walls, impenetrable. Can you imagine the people in Jericho standing up on this wall looking down at these little people walking around? What is going on? What do they expect to accomplish in this? And laughing at it. But God won a victory and He knocked the walls down. It's a tremendous victory. It's the victories that we want to see in our ministries. The victories you want to see in your lives. You see, the mission field isn't just beyond the border. The mission field could be on the other side of the city. Could be on the other side of the street. For many of us, the mission field is right across the table. We sit down with our mission field every day and eat dinner. But we see no victories. We see not the families won. Family members won. We see not churches built up and fortified as they should. See not souls saved. We need that victory. The victory that the children of Israel called on to the Lord and the Lord gave them. But there was a caution. Look at verse 18 and 19 or verse 6. 17, 18 and 19. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, the gold, the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Here's God giving this victory. He said, He's telling Joshua, this is what's going to happen. It's all going to fall down. But these are some things that you better pay attention to. There's some cursed things. And don't curse yourselves. Don't make yourself a curse. God wins the victories. God saves the souls. It's the power of God that transforms lives. But you and I are responsible for our relationship with Him. Just as He knocks at the door and doesn't knock it down to come in to sup with you, you have to keep your life clean. You have to look and say, Lord, this is my life. I am willing to sacrifice and offer this up to You. Don't take into yourself the accursed thing. You lack victory in your life. You lack peace. You lack joy. You lack faith. I ask you to examine your heart this morning. Examine it well. Is the Lord knocking on something in your life this morning and saying, this is a cursed thing that you've taken onto yourself? You're to keep yourself clean, and yet you've taken this into yourself. You've become one with this. You now love this more than fellowship with Me. For that reason, He stands on the outside and knocks and wishes to come in. But as we turn to chapter 7, verse 1, we see, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Interesting. Remember that. The children of Israel. Israel committed a trespass, and we're going to see that it was one man. Are you holding back a whole church? But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the cursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. No victory in our lives, no victory in our ministries. We need to examine our hearts. Have we taken of the cursed thing? It goes on and tells about, this is all put aside, this is under the carpet. Nobody knows about this accursed thing but God. And the children of Israel come against a city called Ai, just an insignificant little burg. It's Atascosis on the outside of San Antonio. And they say, well, let's just go send a few guys and we'll knock this over. Just the big victories of God. And they march out and get defeated. Many people die. 30-some people, men die. Taking a little failing. It brings me to verse 6. Verse 6 shows Joshua's response. Many times like ours, when we don't see the victory in our lives, when we don't see our loved ones being saved, when we see that our lives are in a mess, it says that Joshua rent his clothes, and he fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. Now Joshua's blaming God. God, you brought us over and you abandoned us. Joshua, wake up. The Lord didn't abandon you. He won great victory and He wants to give you He's given you the whole land. The victory's ours, and all we have to do is step forward with a pure heart and take it. And he said, no. Joshua said, no, God, it's your fault. You brought us over and now you're just feeding us to our enemies. You're letting us be conquered by our enemies. Look what the Lord said in verse 10. And the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face? We have a work to do. Our work is to clean up our lives. Our work is to concentrate on perfect fellowship with our Lord and Savior. We want to be the big victors and have our reputation, have our name up in lights that we have won so many thousands and that the devil has fallen before our feet. That's not our job. The devil will fall before the feet of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ will win the great victories. The souls that are saved will be saved because Jesus Christ saved those souls. You and I got a job to do. We need to get up off our face and clean up our lives.
Amen.
We need to look in our lives and see the thing that has caused the disaster in our own lives, in the lives of our family, and in the ministry of our church. The whole nation of Israel was affected by one man's disobedience. What did he take? You're talking about Jericho, one of the most fortified cities of the land. They didn't have their treasures out underneath a bush, out in the field, underneath a rock. In that city was the treasures of the whole land. And Achan went in and he just saw a wedge of gold, a few pieces of silver, and one garment. And he lusted after it, and he took it into his own tent. There he hid it. It wasn't a great thing. I just was buying a car for Betsy the other day, and this salesman, he's pretty funny, he's pretty happy-go-lucky, and I'm underneath checking to see if the thing runs on lemon oil and underneath the hood. And she's in this car. I say, "Dad, it don't have a radio button. It's missing a radio button, you know. It's all she's concerned about." And this guy, he's pretty sharp. He says, "No problem. I'll just steal one from the next car." And then as we were talking on a little later, I invite him to the meeting. And I was hoping he'd be here. I was going to really get him today. But I told him that I'm going to preach on Achan and how that God, for the little insignificant things he stole from him, was killed. Well, I mean, we got lots of cars out back, and that's what they're for, and he's back in water. Insignificant radio button. Well, as insignificant as that is, so was these items before man. They weren't nothing. I mean, we can fudge a little bit on our worldliness. We can enjoy a little bit of this world, just a little bit. We can covet a little bit. But God passed wrath and judgment upon the whole nation of Israel for a little wedge of gold, a few things of silver. You're talking about the treasury of the king of Jericho was there. He didn't touch that. He didn't walk back with a wagon. You know, if I do anything, I do anything in a big way. I don't know if any of you know me. I'd have a semi-truck up there. Achan didn't do that. He took what he could hide, and he took it home, and he hid it in his heart, in his tent, in his very dwelling place. And it kindled the wrath of God against the children of Israel. And he took away his blessing. It's not the insignificance of the sin. It's that it's sin.
That's right.
It's that it's disobedience. As you're training your children, and we're trying to learn all over again how to train children, it's not easy. It's not so much what they did, but how they did it. I said no, and they just did it, but they did it cute. You know? How do you whip a kid that did it cute? God doesn't have our sentiments.
That's right.
God has a business to take care of, John. He's out to win a victory. He's out to win souls, and we are his soul winners. We are his people that he's chosen. We have a blessing to be that chosen people. And our job isn't to win the victory. Our job isn't to knock down the walls. We need to stand around and shout, "Praise the Lord, he knocked down the walls."
Amen.
If our hearts are clean, if our goals are his goals, if we don't disobey and curse ourselves. Just always gets to me that when the Lord said, "Get thee up," raised in from a small boy in church and going to all different kinds of churches. I've seen a lot of different meetings and things, and hard to believe I'm one of the old timers now, Brother Lindo. I'm talking about the past. You know, I'm not. But most people are just waiting for the Lord to do everything. The Lord does most, and He's the powerful factor. But we've been called to get ourselves up. What is that door of separation? What is it that has caused us to lose fellowship and power, faith and joy? What is it? The Lord touches it and says, "Open that door." He says, "Open it and I'll come in." It says in verse 12 that I will neither be with you anymore. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the curse from among you. God keeps accounts. And you're not going to ride through and keep this sin until it becomes so much a part of your life that it looks like you, and God's going to just pass it over. Well, okay, you can have it this time, but the next thing you're going to have to repent of. No. The victory comes when we deal with everyone. God will not pass over these things. God demands an account. We need to clean up our lives from day one. Things that are now are just naturally ours because they've been with us so many years doesn't mean it's right. Don't mean it's obedience unto God. He says, "I will not stand. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the cursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people. Say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until I take away the cursed thing from among you. So how do we do it? Well, I think the Bible gives us some very, very explicit steps. Starting in verse 19, how do we take that out from within us? And Joshua said in verse 19 unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I'm trying to hide things from the Lord. I'm hiding things from you, believe me. You're hiding things from your wife and your husband. You're hiding things in your heart. Don't hide it from the Lord. He already knows it. There's where you lose. You may think you're hiding it, but He knows it. But He wants a confession. He wants a confession. He wants to hear you say so that He knows you know that your sin is an abomination to Him. Confess unto Him. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess with our mouth, if we confess with the name, help me out. Confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. That's a promise of God. But it takes a confession. And hiding it not. Don't think you're going to trick God. Don't think you're going to trick God and you're going to open that door just a crack. Say, see, Lord, it's just, He wants it wide open. He wants to open up and say, Lord, this is the sin in my life. You know it's there and I confess that it's sin. Lord, I ask that you take it out and cleanse me. Make a confession and hide it not. Verse 22. Another very important point. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. It's with haste. The longer you wait, the more it embeds.
That's right.
With haste, they ran. We want victory. How bad do you want victory? Do you want the work that you're building in Morelia to really prosper? Do I want what we're doing in San Luis, what God has planned for us in the future to prosper? Do we want victory? Does Oak Knoll, do you here want to see victory in the lives of your family? Want to see this church filled with people praising God together with you? How bad do you want it? You know, this is something we ought to work on next mission conference, okay? We'll just eat our dinner and have a good time the rest of the week, and next mission conference we'll clean up our lives. Is that our attitude? Many times it is. God wants haste. God wants us to run. Run to the very thing that's in our lives and say, Lord, I want to get it out. I want fellowship. How bad do you want the fellowship of the Lord? Listen, one more trip around the block with this sin, and then I'll come to you. That's our attitude. That's our lives. How much does blessing of God value? How much value does the blessing of God have with you? Do you really want God to reach out and touch you and empower you? I've been with some men. I praise the Lord for some of the men I've been with. The Lord has blessed me to see some men that had power with Him. When they stood up and preached the Word of God, the police, the governor of the state stopped and stared and was awed by the power of the preaching of the gospel. I've seen that. It's blessed to see it. I'd like to experience it. Wouldn't you like to stop people dead in their tracks because you have the power of God that touches their heart and soul? And they say, man, but of a truth, God is with you.
Amen.
We don't have that said much anymore. And I think the reason is because of the sin that we hide in our hearts and our unwillingness to take it out and take it out hastily. Verse 23, and it says, and they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua. They took them out. Something you got to dig out. Joshua, Achan took these things to his very dwelling place. And the sins that we need to be concerned with this morning are the ones we have hid in our very, very hearts. We don't have to worry about the neighbor's sin. We don't have to worry about the sin that may be coming tomorrow. Right now, it's the sin that's right there. We've already hid it in our hearts. We need to take it out from within. They took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. Before the Lord is a key phrase. Your sin needs to be laid out before the Lord. Lord, here it is. You look on it. You've pricked me with it. I feel this is sin. I confess this is sin. Just look at it. This is what I'm willing to offer to you, to have fellowship with you. This thing that I held so dear, I see now as the very thing that impedes me from having victory with you and fellowship with you. And I lay it out before you, Lord. Look upon my sin, Lord. Joshua had him lay it out before the whole people of Israel, and also before the Lord. You have a sin hidden in your heart, lay it out before the Lord. Confess it. Lay it out. Here it is, the whole thing. Look it over. Have I got it all? Lord, have I got everything that impedes my fellowship with you? You look at it. You want to put it in a little package and say, here, Lord, you just take it, throw it in the deepest sea. Just don't look at it because maybe it's not complete. Lay it out before the Lord, brothers and sisters, to identify it and to let the Lord really judge it. Is that the sin? Verse 25, Joshua says a statement that we need to really understand. He says, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? Do you see that your sin troubles you? You My sin troubles me. My sin is my trouble. Oh, I want to blame the neighbor for what he did, and I want to blame everything else. I want to blame the economy. But my sin is what troubles me.
Amen.
Do I really see that? Do you see that the sin that is in your life is your trouble? We're good at passing the blame. Somebody else's fault. It's Joshua's blaming God. Joshua's on his face saying, God, you brought us here to be defeated. It's your fault. No. The trouble in your life is your sin. Do you see it as sin? Why hast thou troubled us? We must see that the sin troubles God also. He wants a victory. Our God wants to see people saved. He's in the business of saving souls. He's in the business of winning your family, your husband, your wife, your children. He's in the business of seeing them saved. But that sin in your life troubles him. It impedes the fellowship. The fellowship would pass on to you the faith, the joy. How many people are going to jump right in to your type of Christianity if you don't have joy?
Amen.
If in the end of all this life, your belief in Jesus Christ didn't fill your life with joy, who else would want it? That's what the world is looking for, something to give them joy, to give them peace. And yet, because of the sin in our life, we don't have joy with God. Because we're in trouble with God. When I see people winning people to the Lord, it's because they're joyous. They're thrilled with the fact that they're bought of a price and their sins are forgiven. They have their priorities straight, and the problems that they have, which are the same or worse than you and I have, they don't knock them down. They don't make them sad. They don't make them cry out and, oh God, why have you forsaken me? They join the Lord in all things. Us Christians lack a great deal because we do not joy in the Lord. Says it, and also verse 25, it says, and the Lord shall trouble you this day. Are you ready for the trouble of the Lord? To get this thing rooted out, the Lord's going to trouble you, brothers and sisters. I just want to warn you. This thing that has got a hold, it's got a grip upon your heart, the thing that you love, that sin against God, it may hurt to get it torn out. It's when you have to be dedicated and convicted that this thing is not worth the joy that I lose in the Lord. This is not worth the blessings that have since been gone. I'm willing to be troubled of the Lord to be clean. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with the stones. This Achan, you need to understand this. Achan wasn't an enemy to these people in the beginning, even in the end. He was one that had grown up with them. His family was there. People that he loved and people that he'd helped. He was a mighty warrior of God who had marched into the city, and he had been killing and doing the work of God as all the other soldiers. This wasn't an easy thing that these people did. Children of Israel didn't pick up stones and chase after some dog that just bit their little baby. It was one of their own. Some of the things in your life that need to be judged on is some of your own. We're in war. This flesh is at war against God, and the things that this flesh loves is part of us. And it's going to hurt to pick up some stones and throw them. I see that the stones are important because are you willing not only to take this sin and take it out of your life and set it over here, are you willing to destroy it? Or do you want it there where you can reach back and pull it back in? Say, well, I dealt with it once now. This year I can handle it now. I'm grown up Christian and I have Christian liberty, and this thing does not going to impede me this time, and I'm going to bring it back into my life. Are you willing to destroy it to the point that it's not desirable? Did it burn it with fire? There's nothing left but ashes. Are you willing to do a burnt offering unto the Lord with the very thing that you love in your flesh but impedes your spirit with fellowship with God? Burn it. Burn it till it's not recognizable. Burn it as an offering to the Lord, a sweet savor as you seek the fellowship of the Lord. Something else that's very interesting, it says in 26, and it says, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You want the fierce anger of the Lord to be turned away from you? Build an altar. An altar that will remind him that you were faithful to deal with that sin that impeded your fellowship. Build an altar that when he comes to visit you, he passed by the altar. And now this door of separation is now the door of unity. You loved my fellowship more than this thing, this sin, this desire, fleshly desire. It's a glorious time, brothers and sisters. And the Lord arrives and there's nothing between you and him.